What's fascinating is that in March of 2021, the Nuclear Threat Initiative, and you heard what I said correctly, NTI, the Nuclear Threat Initiative, hired by none other than Dustin Moskowitz, the co-founder of Facebook, was the one that forecast that in May of 2022, we would have an outbreak of monkeypox. Now, you heard the dates right.
Wow.
There are growing questions today around a new and deadly outbreak. Scientists determined that this monkeypox virus was engineered. Limited antiviral drugs and no known effective treatments, countries around the world are struggling to control another pandemic with already devastating effects.
Seeing far fewer cases in countries where governments took early and decisive action.
And some international experts are urging the WHO to adopt a phased approach to warnings.
Let's put it all together and do it in slow motion. March of 2021, the Nuclear Threat Initiative that was funded by Facebook's co-founder Dustin Moskowitz forecast an outbreak of monkeypox in May of 2022.
Wow. Predictive programming, telling you what we're about to do to you.
Published it. Now, do you think most people would have looked up the Nuclear Threat Initiative? In the throes of COVID? No, you wouldn't have thought to do it for a good reason. It's called the Nuclear Threat Initiative. That's kind of the reason why you wouldn't go there to look for a public health document. Because it doesn't sound like a public health kind of institution. But they published that they were going to have not only a monkeypox outbreak that started in May of 2022, but if you read a little further into that report, you find out that in the next few weeks, we're going to find out that this was a genetically engineered variant of monkeypox that's engineered to be vaccine resistant. That's in their stated objective.
Wow.
Published in March of 2021. What makes it worse is by the end of 2023, they're saying that we're going to have 271 million people dead. And you heard that number correctly.
That's concerning. Very concerning.
271 million people dead. 3.2 billion people infected. 271 million fatalities. And the thing is disclosed to be vaccine resistant. Now, that put me on an interesting inquiry, which is, okay, who's been doing research on this? And lo and behold, you start peeling back that onion, and all of a sudden you find some very fascinating, interesting overlaps, because one of the things you find is that a lot of the labs that were working on monkeypox were working also on the African swine flu. And ironically, one of the places that the African swine flu was being genetically modified and optimized was, are you ready for this? The Ukraine. Why would it be that we're having a protracted distraction in the Ukraine right now? What What's going on with that? And why did we have to have a protracted distraction in the Ukraine? Why did we have to have caravans of vehicles leaving biological facilities in the Ukraine? Why did we have to move all kinds of things allegedly under the cover of night or out of labs under the cover of, you know, canopied trucks and so forth? Why did we need to do that? And why is it that the regions that were affected by a number of the pathogens associated with monkeypox also happened to be installations that also had the African swine flu? And is it possible that maybe we're going to have an announcement that we have a monkeypox outbreak, but in fact what we're going to do is we're going to once again build a series of toxins. These are going to be a family of things which happen to be engineering the world to think that we are having an outbreak of a new pathology, when in fact, if you really examine the data, what you're actually looking at is data that suggests that what we may be doing is finding nature's descriptors, nature's pathogens, nature's culprits to deal with the multiply injected populations who are now going to have a number of fatalities, not from monkeypox, not from a swine flu, not from a bird flu, but in fact from the injections that we gave them, where now we're taking all the symptoms that those people are going to present with, and we now have a convenient narrative that says it's a new pathogen. Now remember, we've got a tiny little problem, because since you could get COVID without ever having SARS-CoV-2, remember? This is the disease that mysteriously can be caused by a thing that doesn't cause the thing. Because we were told in every declaration that closed down every state and every country that SARS-CoV causes COVID, except for the tiny fact that most people who tested positive for SARS-CoV-2 never got COVID, and most people who had COVID never tested positive for SARS-CoV-2. So the causative relationship is slightly mysterious.
Yeah.
Add to that the fact that the only protracted death increases that we saw were after we started injecting people with spike proteins and all sorts of other things that were in the cocktail that we were injecting. And now all of a sudden we're looking for the world's basket of pathogens that we can say are outbreaking, convenient as we time the fatalities associated with the injection. If you go back and you look at the laboratories that actually have been doing allegedly the monkeypox work, you find that you have the perfect formula to cover with new outbreaks the deaths from the injection. We are manufacturing a cover story in the form of a new epidemic. The interesting thing about that is that if you sit back and say, the guy who wrote all the checks for this, Dustin Moskowitz, what's in it for him? Because he's the guy who wrote the check for Event 201.
Okay.
He's the guy who wrote the check for the NTI study on monkeypox. He's that guy.
Sure.
Well, you have to ask, so Dustin, what on earth could possibly motivate you to be so interested in monkeypox? And it turns out the answer is very simple. It's called Sherlock Biosciences. Because Sherlock Biosciences, interestingly enough, is the company that has the emergency use authorization for the first time in human history to edit the human genome using CRISPR technology. And they got that EUA under the cover of COVID-19. So is it any surprise that Dustin is putting into the scenario for the public to now take on board that monkeypox is a vaccine-resistant pathogen? Not a surprise at all, because he never wanted the world to accept a vaccine platform. He wanted the world to accept CRISPR. And he has set the whole world up to fall for it perfectly, and no one is talking about it. Nobody.
So people like CRISPR would be, people would, what is CRISPR?
Yeah, that's a great question. We should be asking that. What that is this palindromic repeating sequence where you go into DNA or RNA and you clip out sections or clip in sections, and you edit, literally edit, the gene of the human or the gene of whatever the eukaryotic or prokaryotic cell is or anything else. It's you take a thing that is a thing and you clip in or clip out whatever you want to add or subtract.
From your own self?
From yourself. So I want you to think about this. And I try to do this in a way that gives people a bit of a mental picture. This is not a technical correct picture. This is a mental picture that I want you to think about.
Sure.
Are you familiar with diabetics that have to have dialysis because their kidneys have failed?
Of course.
Right? Imagine if in, I don't know, a year and a half or 2 years, we set up gene editing centers.
Yeah.
Where every couple months you have to go in and you have to have blood or tissue taken out, and then you have blood or tissue put back in, and you're running a dynamic editing system that is your upgrade. Because another pathogen got released, or might get released. If you look at what the World Health Organization just talked about last week in Geneva, what you find is a very fascinating conversation. Because what they talked about is the possibility that we could actually be responding to planned epidemics. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, wow.
Planned. Not actual epidemics. And it was the United States government who amended the IHR 2005 guidelines in their proposed amendments that actually took out the fact that we at least have to have a recognized pathogen. Now it can be for a recognized or an anticipated epidemic. Wouldn't it be fascinating to just tell people that on Thursday we're thinking that it's probably going to be a swine flu, so go line up. And by the way, you're going to have this very interesting RFID chip, or you're going to have something else that's going to be embedded in. And before you go to the grocery store, before you get on a bus, before you get on a plane, before you get anywhere else, we're going to go ahead and read the chip to make sure that you're not an at-risk crazy who hasn't gotten his latest upgrade. I'm letting people know this because until we actually realize this is a felony criminal conspiracy, this is racketeering, this is domestic terrorism, these are things for which felony laws exist. These are things for which the prison terms are minimum 99 years. And if it's an institution that's promulgating those things, it's $100 million per count violation fine. That's what we should be focused on, because the fact of the matter is, since the 2003 Eurotox conference, I can sit here with absolute certainty and say that we saw a world in which we knew that if we were going to manage a population, and that means manage its numbers and manage its behaviors, we realized that the biological threat was far more valuable than the nuclear threat. And so what we'll do is we'll use the invisibility of a pathogen to bring the world to its knees. Yeah. And as Kim often says, and I know as an Australian, you've heard the song enough, rather, you know, die on your feet than live on your knees. I mean, this is a time when people really need to stand up and really pay attention, because we are on the verge of the cover-up of all times, according to Pfizer's CEO, can lead to the loss of half of the world's population.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. They're telling you. Just telling you.
It's right out there.
And it seems permission-based. In the spiritual realm, permission-based. So I tell you something, and I'm looking for an acceptance from you. For example, the world is overpopulated. They want us to think the Earth is overpopulated. That way, when we give voice to that, we're volunteering ourselves to be a sacrifice.
Correct.
You don't realize that that's what they're doing, but that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, and that's the reason why we have to have these conversations. These conversations are the most important we can have right now, because what we have to realize is that this entire thing is programming the public to accept a genocide of global proportions. Mm. I made a commitment at the very beginning of this to stay within the four walls of the laws as we have them today. I've only asked for the laws to be upheld. If we have laws, if we have what we call fair play, then let's actually play by the rules. The courts across the board made an unambiguous declaration that we were in a public health emergency and that the World Health Organization and the CDC were the only arbiters of what the facts were. And so you could not argue the facts. Gates represents 88% of the donation to the World Health Organization from donor organizations and agencies. By any definition, that's a controlling interest. They had no problem going after osteopaths and chiropractors and people who were advocating for zinc or hydroxychloroquine, and they were shutting people down, they were taking people's licenses. So the Deceptive Medical Practices Law was very much in play.
We will cite you, and if we need to, we will arrest you, and we will take you to jail.
So I think we're going to get different pathogens. We already see the Nipah craze that was going on in India, and we've got a bunch of other toxins that are being discussed. Apocalypses have been overrated every time they've been promoted. And by the way, human history is filled with apocalypse forecasts, and they all suck. We forget that we have a conscious role to play in this. And if we give the frequency of evil the carrier frequency on which it can transmit, guess what will be transmitted? Evil. I decided to swing the pendulum even further towards I'm going to stay absolutely laser focused on the criminality of what was happening. And as I've said in numerous interviews, and as I continue to say, we have to go back to 1913 to understand this crime. And specifically what we have to do is we have to look at the Rockefeller Foundation and then a few years later, the Wellcome Trust, which became the colluding parties that authorized the idea of allopathic medicine becoming the agency through which behavior modification would be done through medicine. Remember that the Flexner Report had come out and it had basically said that if you had another way of healing other than the industrial pharmaceutical way of healing, it was going to be deemed quackery and we were going to throw it out the window. Shortly thereafter, you had the Wellcome Trust being set up. And if you look at the Wellcome Trust going into the Second World War, it was very explicitly the commercial offense of the United Kingdom on the German pharmaceutical chemical industrial complex. So to the point where if people want to, they can go back and they can look at literal battle plans. And I don't mean metaphoric, actual battle plans drawn by the Wellcome Trust on how you invade Germany to take out the pharmaceutical manufacturers and the chemical manufacturers of Germany. So when I say it was a battle, I'm not metaphoric in this. There's actually archive documents that show you that they had battle plans about how to take out the various, you know, chloroquines and the various drugs for malaria, the aspirins, all kinds of things. And it's bizarre to look at this. Obviously, cocaine, one of the very major pieces of that pharmacopoeia back then, which was an enormous part of the business of the pharmaceutical industries in the late 20s and early 30s. And so if we don't go back in time, we actually miss the point that the Rockefeller Foundation and the Wellcome Trust became the organizing entities, which ultimately in 1947 put the World Health Organization on the map. But what's really interesting in that is in the charter of the UN-affiliated organizations for the World Health Organization, they wrote into the charter the absolute liability shield from all criminal prosecution in perpetuity for any person associated with the World Health Organization and its and any of its activities, where it quite specifically goes down to the level of saying you cannot be prosecuted for any crime of any manner in any way as long as you do it under the umbrella of the World Health Organization. It's important to realize that when we talk about the World Health Organization, we're not talking about an institution of the United Nations. We're talking about a criminal conspiracy that was put in place by two foundations who had a commercial interest in building a criminal liability shield for themselves. That's what it is. Never was a health organization, it was a criminal organization. And by criminal, I literally mean that under the Clayton Act in the United States and under the Sherman Act in the United States and under the competitiveness laws of Europe, what they did was a crime. They colluded, they price fixed, they did all of the things which were antitrust violations, but put it under the umbrella of public health and everybody's supposed to go, oh, they're doing it for the good of humanity. Except when you look at the actual financial statements of the World Health Organization, you find out that by 1950, and then again in 1955, the singular focus of the World Health Organization was, are you ready for this? Vaccine promotion. We have the Director General of the World Health Organization going one step further and saying, and I'm quoting, this is about population control. Now, what does that mean? That means that when we're taking orders from the World Health Organization, we're not. And fast forward to the Gates Foundation, which most people don't realize was an undisclosed settlement between the U.S. Department of Justice and the Gates convicted felony antitrust violations, right? This was not, there was an allegation Microsoft did bad things. This is a, they were convicted of antitrust crimes. Quite mysteriously, the Gates Foundation just shows up and instantaneously starts laundering money into, are you ready for this? The World Health Organization. If you look at the financial statements, beginning with the Gates Foundation, when it was established, you start seeing an anomaly. It used to be that UN-associated organizations, and specifically the World Health Organization, had two line items for most countries. The country, through an organization like the State Department or through a line item budget, would allocate money to the World Health Organization. And then there's the corporation for the same country, and there's another allocation coming from there. But with Wellcome Trust, Rockefeller Foundation, and Gates Foundation, and the minor players like the Bloomberg Foundation and a couple others now, but mostly the top three, suddenly we actually have the formation of what we called the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board. Well, who's sitting on that? Dr. Elias from the Gates Foundation, Anthony Fauci from NIAID, you know, Jeremy Farr from the Wellcome Trust. I mean, this is a criminal conspiracy. And I'm not saying that from the standpoint of conspiracy theory. I'm saying that from the definition of what it means to be a criminal conspiracy. And so if you ask the question, which is a legitimate thing to do, was the FDA, was the CDC following orders from the WHO? The answer is asterisk almost. But who were they really following orders from? And that's where you get into the nasty answer, which is the answer was that interlocking directorate, that violation of antitrust laws, that corporate machine, not health, not, you know, we're out for the good of humanity, that corporate criminal conspiratorial organization that was guilty at the time of racketeering, was guilty at the time of interlocking directorates, all felonies, was guilty at the time of price fixing, another felony, which was guilty at the time of actually suppressing commercial alternatives, which is called market allocation, another felony. That criminal organization announced that it was going to take over the world, and they did. But we have to name the names. It wasn't just the World Health Organization. Anybody thinks that Tedros is smart enough to pull this off is delusional. He's a puppet, and there's a giant stick up his ass, which is what's making his mouth move. But who's moving the stick for the puppet? And that is Wellcome, Gates, and Rockefeller. By 2023, which is kind of where we are right now, Gates represents 88% of the donation to the World Health Organization from donor organizations and agencies. By any definition, that's a controlling interest. So is it independent? No. Is it the World Health Organization nonprofit in Switzerland? No. This even violates Swiss law. Everything I'm saying is a violation of Swiss law. If we think about how bizarre it is that we have the, essentially the extension of the Carnegie Foundation's eugenics office, which they put at Cold Spring Harbor Labs back in the early 1900s, the continuation of that with the explicit inclusion of that as an agenda in the 1950s when the World Health Organization gets off the ground. The ongoing nature of Bill Gates getting up and talking about how there's too many people on the earth and Bloomberg and others getting up and saying we need to figure out how to control populations. In 2011, when we had the Decade of the Vaccines publication come out of the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, we had a very explicit statement that said that if we have vaccinations where we need them, we will actually see potentially as much as a 20% reduction in the population on Earth. Those are not allegations. Those are stated objectives.
For example, the world is overpopulated. They want us to think the Earth is overpopulated. That way, when we give voice to that, we're volunteering ourselves
Correct.
To be a sacrifice.
Correct.
You don't realize that that's what they're doing, but that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, and that's the reason why we have to have these conversations. These conversations are the most important we can have right now, because what we have to realize is that this entire thing is programming the public to accept a genocide of global proportions. Mm.